Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, thanking God for another day that he has made. I am rejoicing and glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always blessed to be a child of the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah. This morning we have an interesting book to go through. I think I was last to say, it's adults only. You know, it's not for children. It's for that married couple who just loves each other, who God put together, that man that found his good thing, hallelujah, and found favor with the Lord. That's what this book is all about. You know, the Song of Solomon is a love story, a beautiful love story. And when we look at it as the love story that it is, you know, there are those that would want to call it some form of biblical pornography. You know, like I said earlier when we started this journey, that the Bible has everything in it. It has life in it. It has things that happen, the good, the bad, and the downright ugly. It's in here. It's in the book. And those that want to get offended need to get over themselves, because the word of God is for a purpose and it's for a reason. You know, there are those that are so narrow of mind, they don't see the love story that is in this book. They don't see the joy a marriage that's in this book. You know, I am so grateful to God for the time that I had as a married woman, you know, most of my life. And at this moment in time, half of my life, I was married. I am mature, but half of my life I was married. If I take the time now, you know, from my age today, I was married half of my life. And I am grateful to have been a wife to a wonderful man. I am grateful to have been a friend to a wonderful man. And when you think about that wonderful husband or that wonderful wife you have, you can think about the love that's in this book. You can think about the joy of marriage that's in this book. And I'm talking to those that have had happy marriages. I know that some marriages are not happy. I know that there are those that have had some rough times in relationships. But all I can say is, may God get the glory in your life. And may God give you that Boaz or that Ruth, that one that is the one for you. Because so many times our young people get caught up in quick marriage. And when I say quick marriage, I mean the marriage that didn't come from God, the marriage that came from love, the marriage that came from, you know, premarital sex. You know, I'm going to marry him because he got me pregnant one time. You know, we have talked to the young women. It only takes one time. One time outside of marriage to have a child out of wedlock, which I still say every child is a gift from God. But I say this to say that love is special to God. Love is God's gift to us. Love is that special thing that can only come from God. I believe that God gives husbands that good thing. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that I was my guy's good thing. And I can say in all the years that we were married, there was no temptation to step outside. It was a love story. You know, I keep hearing, you need to write a book. Maybe I will one day when God gives it to me. But my story, 13 years old, meet this guy at his aunt's house who was my mother, godmother, great aunt, actually great, great aunt, best friend. She had known him since he was a baby. She knew his parents. My mother and my father knew my husband's parents, knew his family, knew his late grandmother, knew all about him. Stories I heard about him, I thought, this guy is a hoot. He is funny. And then I met him, and he was funny, but he was so nice. Just nice and kind of goofy, you know, because I was 13, and I thought that, you know, I was getting ready to go to high school, you know, in the next year or so. I was going into eighth grade, and I thought, I had it going on. I did. But I realized, actually, I was going into ninth grade, and I thought, this guy is hilarious. But he was so kind that he wrote a letter to my parents and asked permission to write me. It wasn't like what goes on today where these folks are texting and DMing underage girls and just calling it straight. He was 17 and I was 13. But he asked permission to write me. And all the letters that I received were letters that my parents could read. That was the kind of person he was. And I was laughing with some of his friends from college on this past weekend. And they were all like, oh, we knew all about you before we ever met you. And because he said at 17 that he was going to marry you. He knew at 17 that I was going to be his good thing. And I was just a child. I was just 13 years old. But we developed a friendship through letters, through his visits when he would come to visit his aunt, all chaperoned, until I was old enough and legal enough to go on a date with him. And I am grateful. I got married young. I got married at 19 years old, which is, I would say, unheard of today because the maturity level is not there anymore. And I can say, you know, he was a great husband, great provider, great friend. So I dedicate this beautiful word to my late husband, RJ. Wonderful man of God, wonderful husband, Be grateful to, I talk to my married folks out there. Be grateful for the love that God has given you in your husband, in your wife. Be grateful and be friends. You know, as a very wise older gentleman told me, if he or she doesn't make you laugh, get them out of here because they're not the one for you. Laughter is good for the soul, and marriage comes from God. Heavenly Father God, we lift up this beautiful word today, asking you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease, believing, Lord God, that all things work for good because we are called according to your purpose. And, Lord God, we know that marriage comes from you. I pray for all of these young people and older people who are waiting the love of their life, men who are looking for their good thing, women who are waiting to be a good thing. Lord God, I pray that you send good things to my son. And I pray, Lord God, that all things work for the love that only can come from you. But we work for you, God. And I thank you for the love relationship I have. I thank you for my best friend. I thank you for the laughter. I thank you for the tears. I thank you for the joy that comes in a love relationship. So, Father God, as I lift up this word, we thank you for your love for us, a love that surpasses all understanding, a love that is beyond imagination. We thank you, Father God. And as it always, Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength, Lord God, and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I lift up this beautiful word, thanking you, praising you, giving you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thanking God again. So let's get into this word. And I love my little know your Bible. You got to know your Bible. It's 10 words or less. We're going to talk about what this beautiful word is about. It's married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. And it says this, the author of this book is Solomon, though some wonder if the Song of Solomon is like the Psalms of David, which could mean they are by or are about him. Solomon ruled about 970 to 930 B.C. Those are the dates. The details, please, because we know the 10 words or less. Married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. A dark-skinned beauty is marrying the king, and both are thrilled. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes, he tells her. And we're going to read that shortly. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also our bed is green. She responds, through 8 chapters and 117 verses, the two lovers admire each other's physical beauty, expressing their love and devotion. Some quotables. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Woo! Come on now. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. That's chapter 2, verse 4 of Song of Solomon. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can drown it. 8 and 7. Whoa, go on now. Unique and unusual about the Song of Solomon. Like the book of Esther, the Song of Solomon never mentions the name God. So what in this word? God made marriage for the husband and wife enjoyment and the marital love can be a picture of God's joy in his people. Marital love. Not trying to offend, but trying to get us all on the right track. Shacking up is not a God. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But the truth is the truth. God created marriage. God pulled us women from the rib of our soulmate. I know I was my soulmate, that rib was his, hallelujah, and that he knew I was his from 13 years old, and I knew he was mine. When I turned 18, I'm like, yes, this minute I am going to marry him. You know, he had a car accident, bringing me my engagement ring. Could have died. All he had was a scratch, just a little scar on his hand. And my oldest son had a similar accident, and all he had was a scratch on his hand. Airborne, over and down a hill, and survived with his eyes. That's when I knew this was the one for me. And I'm grateful, so very grateful for the time that I had. You know, marital love is important, young lady. Wait on the one that God has for you. Don't think that there's not someone for you. Young men, don't think that there's not your good thing out there. But wait on the Lord and ask God to guide you to your one. Because I'll get into talking and we'll miss the word. This is Old Testament Friday. Welcome to Moving Forward. And it says the Song of Songs, which is Solomon, the Shulamite. Let him kiss thee with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointment. Your name is ointment forth. Therefore the virgin love you. Draw me away. Woo! The daughters of Jerusalem, we will run after you. The Shulamite, the king, has brought me into his chambers. The daughters of Jerusalem, we will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. The Shulamite, rightly do they love you. I am dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard I have not kept. To our beloved, tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make it rest at noon. But why should I be as one who veils herself but the flocks of your companions, by the flocks of your companions? The beloved, if you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd's tent. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with chains of gold. The daughters of Jerusalem, we will make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver. The Shulamite, while the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me, that lies all night between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blooms in the vineyard of Engedi. The beloved, behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dead died. The Shulamite, behold, you are handsome, my beloved. Your presence also are dead is green. Yes, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our houses are cedar and our rafters of fir. Chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. The beloved, like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The Shulamite, like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The Shulamite to the daughters of Jerusalem, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am love sick. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field. Do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. The Shulamite, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, my dove, in the cliff of the rock, in the secret place of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Her brothers, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The Shulamite, my beloved, is mine and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies to our beloved until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag upon the mountains of the God. All right now. And Dr. Stanley gives us some life lessons from the Song of Solomon, 1 verse 4. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love. Human love grows best in a bright atmosphere of frequent and heartfelt praise. Lovers do not tire of hearing their beloved exalt over them. Men and women in love almost can't help but brag about their loved ones to others. This kind of expression endures the lovers to one another. And by the way, neither does God. In a similar way, the best evangelism also flows naturally out of love for God. Woo! Yes, it does. And, you know, I am so grateful. I used to hear all the time, I love you, Bridget. And I loved hearing it. Yes, I did. And I miss it. I do. But I know that God loved that, and I'm thankful for what God gave me. Hallelujah. And it says, God is our lover. Come on now. Dr. Stanley going there. It says, love as in. His banner over me was love. The greatest gift God offers us, and yet it is the one we have the most difficulty receiving. Why? First, we do not think we deserve his love, which is true. God demonstrates his own love toward us. The Apostle Paul writes in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and 8. Second, we do not understand it, for the quality of his love differs tremendously from our own. We somehow want to believe that he loves us the way we love others. Such a viewpoint, however, leaves us doubtful that he will always love us as the Bible promises he will. Love is a commitment to the satisfaction, peace, security, joy, and development of another person. God's love is not based on emotion, but flows out of his changeless character. The Bible tells us that God is love, 1 John 4 and 8. Since it is impossible for him anything contrary to his nature, his love will forever remain certain and dependable. In addition, his gift is love. James 1 and 17 implies that God's love does not change and it exists independently of our feelings about deserving it. We cannot earn it or give anything in return for it. God offers his love to to us freely as a gift. Furthermore, the love of our Heavenly Father is perfect. Every one of God's attributes represents the peak of perfection and cannot be improved to any degree. You better preach God's sales. Since his love is perfect, we know it will bless us forever. He will always treat each of us in accordance with his love. Every day, you and I walk under the canopy of God's amazing love, which remains perfect and changeless. Even if we wander from his will or fall into disobedience, never allow yourself to think canopy must be down. It never is. We did not erect the canopy, and neither can we dismantle it. God has always loved you, always will. Release any misconception, therefore, and rejoice under his canopy of love. I am grateful that I am loved by God. I am not the greatest, but I love him so much, and I am so grateful for his love toward me. He has blessed me beyond measure. You know, folks get caught up in stuff that they forget to get caught up in God. You know, I had a whole lot of stuff. Still got a lot of stuff that I'm trying to get rid of. But, you know, you have folks that they will ride or die for that luxury car. You know, I'm blessed. I've had, you know, some luxury cars. Now I drive a very, very nice car. I almost died getting it, didn't want to, loved the car I had. You know, I had everything I wanted in it. And so I just got to upgrade. But I'm grateful for what I got. You know, all these folks get caught up in everything materialistic, and I tell you, the material things will be here when we leave this earth. But the love that we have for God and God's love for us will last us through eternity. Choose God and watch him work in your life. In Song of Solomon 2 and 13, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Marital love will not flourish without some alone time. Come on now. Between the lovers in a similar way, our relationship with God will not blossom without spending some private time with him. Spouses need to take time away from children. You need some couple time. You need a date night. You need to have some time that's just yours and his. And when you do that, watch God work in your relationship. But if you're always, I got to go to work, I got to this, I got to, trying to get and accumulate more and more and more, then you will lose that relationship. God made marriage, and he made it beautiful. And I say again, if you are in an abusive relationship, that is not of God. That's not a relationship of God. God didn't send that man to you. You are not his good thing. And you have got the counterfeit. That's why we have to wait on God to send the one for you. This is my beloved and this is my friend. Your husband, your wife should be your best friend. If your best friend is somebody other than your spouse, there's something wrong. You need, your best friend should be your husband. Your best friend should be your wife. You should be able to tell them anything. They should be your biggest advocate. In whatever you're going through, they should be the one there with your back. As they say, they are your ride or die. They are the one that's going to be with you through the ups, through the downs, through the thick, through the thin. It should be the one that God sends you. So that's what I'm saying as we go into the chapter 3 of the Song of Solomon. The Shulamite. By night on my bed, I sought the one I loved. I sought him, but I did not find him. I will rise now, I said, and go about the city in the streets and in the squares. I would seek the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. the watchmen who go about the city found me. I said, have you seen the one I love? Scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I love. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him to the house of my mother and in the chamber of her who conceived me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up, nor awaken love until it sleeps. The Shulamite, who is this coming out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchant's fragrant powders? Behold, it is Solomon's couch, with 60 valiant men around it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his side because of fear in the night. Of the wood of Lebanon, Solomon the king made himself a baldachin. He made its pillars of silver, its support of gold. He set up his feet of purple, its interior paved with love. By the daughters of Jerusalem, O go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, the day of the gladness of his heart. Jephor, the beloved. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep, which have come up from the washing, every one of which bears twins, and none is barren among them. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like a tower of David built for an army, on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shield of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of the veil, which feed among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Zanar in Hermon, from the lion's den, from the mountains of the leopards. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love, my sister, my spouse. How much better than wine is your love and the scent of your perfume than all spices. Your lips, oh, my spouse, drip as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. Our garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed, orchard of pomegranates with a pleasant fruit, fragrant henna from spikenard and chiffon, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and alloy, and all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living water, and streams from Lebanon. The Shulamite, awake, O north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. Woo, okay. Get the fan out, y'all. And this is in Song of Solomon 4:9. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes. Not only do husbands and wives need to praise each other's good qualities, but in the best marriages, they also love to describe the wonderful way they make each other feel. Wow, isn't that beautiful? This is from a marriage out there. Tell your husband that you love him and that he looks just like he did when he was 21. All right, I'll burp and everything. You know, just like he did when he was 30. mature and looking good. You got to talk it up. Song of Solomon 4:16. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat his pleasant food. While sex is not the all-important prize our culture claims it is, a delightful and important part of any grown marriage, Paul instructs, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. In other words, don't hold sex as a weapon against your spouse. Well, if he don't do what I say, then I ain't giving him anything. I ain't giving him. You know, come on, get over that foolishness. That is not a God, and that is not love. God is love, and marital love is the best kind of love. And when you hold your child in your arms that was conceived in marriage and in love, it is the best gift you could ever receive from your spouse, from God, especially from God. Our children are a gift from God, and I am so grateful, children. Those conceived and those given in love, thankful. We got to love God, and we got to love each other. Marital love comes from God. And as long as we keep that in our mind and in our spirit, everything works out. You know, to give a shout-out to my parents, you know, my mother and father that raised me, I am so grateful because I watched love. My mother got sick. She had a stroke while I was in high school. And I remember, you know, going to school and coming home and taking care of her. But all day, my dad was a caregiver. And I would watch him bathe her. I would watch him pick her up and take her to the restroom. I would watch him comb her hair. I would watch him just love on her. And I remember, I got married in a house wedding. I could have got married in church, two churches actually. And I wanted to. But when I thought about how much my parents had sacrificed for me, how much they loved me. I got married at my godmother's house. She opened her home because, why? There was a comfortable chair for my mother to sit in. And there was a bed in another room in case she got tired. But, you know, she sat up that whole day in that chair that was for her. You know, I had the arch. I had everything. I had the preacher. I had all the things that I would have had to walk down that aisle. But that was not God's plan. It's not the location. It's the love that's involved with it. And I had the location because of my mother and the love that she had for me and the love that I watched my father have for her. It was beautiful. And I'd say this, she never spent one day in a nursing home because he loved her like that. And because I loved her like that. 2 years of my high school, I was a caregiver. And it was the best gift I could ever have to give back to my mom what she had given to me. So I tell you, marital love is so good. I have worked in so many homes of senior citizens, especially couples, that you can see the love that they have for each other. And it does something to your heart. So I tell you, marriage is important. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, you don't have to be married. That marriage is antiquated. That marriage is this and that. Comes from God. And don't let anybody tell you different. And as we go into our last word for this morning, Song of Solomon, chapter 5 to chapter 6. And it says this, I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spices. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. To his friends, Eat, O friends. Drink, yes, drink deeply. O beloved one, the Shulamite. I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is covered with dew, my lock of the night. I have taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How can I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearns for him. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh. My fingers with liquid myrrh on the handle of the lock. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. My heart leaped up when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen who went about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took my veil away from me. I charge you, O daughter of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him, I am loved. The daughters of Jerusalem, what is your beloved more than another beloved? O fairest among women, what is your beloved more than any beloved that you so charge of? The Shulamite, my beloved, is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies, dripping liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory, inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedar. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Chapter 6. Where has your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where has your beloved turned aside that we may seek him with you? The Shulamite, my beloved is gone to the beds of spices, to feed his flock in the garden, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flock among the lilies. The beloved, oh my love, you are as beautiful as Tarzan, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. Turn your eyes away from me, but they have overcome me. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep, which have come up from the washing. Everyone bears twins, and none is barren among them. Like a piece of pomegranate are your temples behind your veil. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my perfect one, is the only one of her mother. The favorite of the one who bore her, the daughters, saw her and called her blessed. The queens and the concubines, and they praise her. Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? The Shulamite, I went down to the garden of nuts to see the verdure of the valley, to see whether the vine had budded and the pomegranates had bloomed. Before I was even aware, my soul had made me as the chariot of my noble people. The beloved and his friends, return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon you. The Shulamite, what would you see in the Shulamite, as it were the dance of Sukkot? Woo, what a word. That's all I can say. And we will finish it up on Monday. But as we go back to some life lessons from chapter 5 and 6 of the Song of Solomon, in chapter 5, 16, which is our title word for today, this is my beloved and this is my friend. How many marriages fall apart because the spouses forget to nurture their friendship along with their romance? All important relationships are first good friendships, and that includes the one we have with God. He has to be your friend. You know, one of my favorite songs that got me through so many different times in life is I Am a Friend of God. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me, true that you are thinking of me, that you love me. Woo! It's amazing. Those words get me through. I am a friend of God. We got to be friends of God. And as we go in, it says, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. Husbands and wives do not own each other, but they do belong to each other in an exclusive way that no one else can share. Adulterer is an ugly word in any language, in heaven as on earth. You know it's serious business when God put it in the top 10. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's in there. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or his house or anything that is thy neighbor's. To paraphrase. Marriage is for two, not for Mr. and Ms. Jones stepping into the vaccine. You know, we got to understand marriage is for, it's from God. And I believe in my heart, I believe in my heart that there is someone for everyone. Love God first. When you love God first, God sends everything you need. I accepted the Lord 100% in my life when I was 13 years old. I knew God. I was a worshiping woman. I was a young woman, but I loved God. I don't care if you can call me goody two shoes if you want to. I did not care. I was one of them ones that, yes, I did. I preached. I talked about God all the time because I did love God all the way up until I got into my 20s, and then I got into my 30s, and then I lost my way. I lost my way because I love God so much that I got tired of going to church and seeing the same old stuff and nobody preaching a word that could uplift and edify and make you feel the presence of God. It was the same old words. Same old ask for more money. Did you pay this? Did you do that? And when you're in Sunday school, you should be able to speak freely, but you're stifled because you can't say anything that the pastor didn't tell you to say. The good reverend doctor. So I lost my way. I didn't know it was a trick of the enemy at the time. I didn't know that he was knocking us off our square because he knew that we would be a power couple for God. And you don't know those things until sometimes it's too late. That maybe we were supposed to start that ministry. We were doing Bible studies. It should have grown, but we allowed ourselves to be stifled. So I say, don't let anybody stifle your praise. If the church you in don't work, go to another one. But ask God first. Don't just go being a church hopper. Ask God, Lord, where do you want me to go that I may spend more time with you, with people of like mind? Trust God. It says, what does God's love look like? It says the notion of true love dominates much of popular culture. We purchase cards, shop for gifts, plan romantic outings with our cherished one in mind. God himself places a high value on love. We know 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's all about love. And delights in expressing his wonderful love to us much of the time. However, we don't feel love, do we? Sin has spoiled our capacity to understand God's love, to receive his love, and to love him in return. Thank God that our Savior Jesus Christ has remedied this problem by liberating us from the power of sin and providing us with a new nature. We can now understand at least a little our Heavenly Father's wonderful love for us. Divine love is unconditional. It showers us with it, regardless of who we are, where we have been, or what mistakes we have made. What matters to the Lord is that we belong to him. You know, there's a song, and it says, I belong to you. We belong to God. And he loves us. And it says, divine love is unconditional. He showers us with it regardless of who we are, where we have been, or what mistakes we have made. What matters to the Lord is that we belong to him. His love for us is also absolute. It never wavers or varies and knows no limitations. It always our best, helping us to grow into the likeness of Jesus. Even when God disciplines us, he does so as a loving father. Understanding how much we are loved and accepting God's love for us frees us to live and love God's way. By loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we find the wisdom and power to love our neighbors in return. Come on now. That's what Jesus said, the second and greatest commandment. What does loving God look like? Loving God means spending time deepening our relationship with Jesus and submitting to him. We love him when we give ourselves wholeheartedly to knowing him and learning what pleases him. We express our love when we obey him. The word of God also tells us that when we love others, we are loving Jesus, Matthew 25:40. Loving others God's way means we will pursue God's best for them. We will ask God to show us what we can say and do on behalf of others. We will seek to answer the question, how can I build them up and help them grow into Christ's likeness? When we love people in obedience to God, we will find ourselves looking for ways to express God's love to them. Love demonstrates that we belong to Jesus. We are created to be lovers of God and others. Dear child of God, won't you receive God's outpouring of love today? If you don't know the Lord today, stay to be saved. Today is a good day to find the love of your life, which is Jesus. The love of your life, which is Father God. The love of your life, who is always there for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. When God is, come on now, all up in the message again. When God is for us, it really doesn't matter who in the world is against us. Have a fantastic Friday, family. And before we go, I have one more prayer, our weekend prayer, to get you through the day. And the word for this September 1st in the light. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah 43:19. Restore, you are an expert at taking worn out old things and making them new. You always make a way when there seems to be no option. You form oasis in the desert. Who is there like you who turns mountain paths into treasure troves? You are incredible. Keep my mind set on you. When I start to forget how wonderful you are in your constant creativity, reveal your goodness in my life in a new way. God, I submit my life to you and harness myself to you. Your leadership is unlike any other I've ever known. My humble heart is joined to your reliable love. Have your way in my life and touch each part with your resurrection power. When I am stuck in a rut of negative thinking and patterns, I need the power of your renewal. I know you won't let me down. You are the fixer of my life. Question is, what new thing is God doing in your life? Can you say, thank you, God, for being the love of my life and for being my best friend? And as Sister Carolyn again so lovingly put it, when God is for us, it really doesn't matter who in the world is against us. Have a fantastic Friday, family, keeping God first in everything that you do. Love God, love each other, and know that God is your best friend. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And for my married couples out there, tell your spouse, I love you, honey. And tell them how grateful you are into your life. Men, tell your good thing. She is a good thing. And women, tell your husband that you're glad that God took his rib and made you, because you know that you are his good thing. Have a great day, family. Be blessed, loving each other, and knowing that God is awesome and that he is the best friend we could ever have. He is the lover of our soul. He is our strength. He is the canopy over our heads. He is God, and he has given us the greatest gift we could ever have, the love of Jesus. Thank you so much, and be blessed. It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. Love you. It's a wrap.